One of the things that I wanted to be sure to say today was something about needing to be flexible, things going not as planned, you know, stuff like that. And I'm just so pleased that Marcia came today. And when I saw her walk in, I said, oh, she must have heard that I was going to be here. And she had no idea that I was going to be here. And it's just one of those really one terrific mysteries. I also want to do my little tech-challenged apology and say that one of the things that I'll probably make reference to at various different times is the parallels between my journey and my work with students at the meeting school on intercession projects. And certainly one of them is not being able to figure out how to present slides the way I had wanted to. So I will be showing you some pictures, but wherever the cord is that might have allowed us to project them on the wall, it wasn't findable. So I'm going to be, this is my iPad that I carried with me, and some of you saw some pictures and saw some things that I was able to send because I had this wonderful instrument with me. But there are some challenges to it, and what I'm going to do is just pass it around, and there's a slideshow in here called QPM, Quaker Public Ministry, and I'll start it, and then hopefully we won't have any problems with it. It's a little slow. When I set it up, I set it up for projecting so that I could say, oh, and this is such and such a place, and that's so and so. And so it's going to seem awfully slow, but I just encourage you to breathe deep and see whatever you want to see, and we can just keep passing it around, and you can get a glimpse of some of the people and the places I went. I think probably what I'm going to do is start it around when I get a little bit into the presentation. I'm going to give you a basic brief overview and the itinerary, and then I'm going to go back and say a little bit more, about the places and things. But
excuse me, I'm sorry.
Is that anything you need to share with everybody else, or just...
I
want to start with a poem that came to me in my travels. I began my travels with the very famous quote that most of you know from Isaac Pennington, the one that says, "Give over thine own willing and sink down to the sea," that one. And I really traveled with that a lot, and that really spoke to me along the way. And then I found this poem at some point, I can't even remember exactly when, but it also really spoke to me about the things that I encountered and the feelings that I had about my travels. It's by Terry Tempest Williams. Experience is our way back home. This work requires an unguarded heart. Improving each day. Protect and celebrate a love that is wild. Throw flowers at all that is evil. There is magic among us. The source of power is in the earth. The birds teach us how to listen. So what I'm going to start by doing is giving you a brief overview of some of the structure around my travels, a little bit of how I came to do this trip. Then I'm going to give you the itinerary. And then, as I said before, I'm going to come back and fill in a little bit about at least some of these things. And then I want to do it fairly simply and give you plenty of time to ask some questions about the things you're most interested in, because I could spend days telling you about this. One thing that I became very clear about in my travels is about a much broader understanding of Quaker public ministry. And I spent a whole term, well, no, not 2 weeks, at Earlham School of Religion delving into what is Quaker public ministry, and I'll say more about that later. But Quaker public ministry has basically been happening since Quakerism began. That's always been a part. Lloyd Lee Wilson calls it classic Quaker ministry. Quakers have always been traveling in the ministry. And what I really became clear about my own ministry is that it has always included travel of some sort. I want to dispel the myth that I walked all the way to Georgia and back. I did not. I wished I had. I would have loved to have done that, and maybe someday I'll be able to do that, but that would take a lot longer than I had. So what I did do was I did a lot of travel on public transportation, which is an adventure in itself. And by public transportation, I mean everything on the ground. I did not fly at all on this trip. The leading for this pilgrimage began back, and I will say again that it really came out of, I think, out of the intercession program, which I helped coordinate at the meeting school, of sending kids out to places for a month every year, and finding out about these wonderful places and for years wanting to visit them. And so this year I got to do some of that too. But specifically, I was walking to yearly meeting, as most of you know that I did, three summers ago. And I kept thinking, wow, this is really wonderful. I'm really learning a lot. I'm meeting a lot of wonderful people. But it still feels pretty close to my comfort zone. It's very, I was in a half an hour of somebody I knew all the way. I could have called my son and said, "Eek, come get me," and he could have done that. And so I wanted to go somewhere where I had really hadn't hardly ever been or had never been. And so on that walk to Smithfield, Rhode Island, I said, "Where could I go that would be some, you know, a real adventure and really be pushing my boundaries?" And immediately I thought Koinonia Farm in Georgia, which I'll be telling you about. I wanted to walk all the way to Koinonia. And then I got to New England Yearly Meeting Sessions, and Tracy Booth, who some of you, how many know Tracy Booth? A few of you. She's been really active in the Lyman Fund, which I'm involved in, and the Obadiah Brown Fund, and has been telling me for years, "Don't forget about Obadiah. You haven't done that yet. We have something for you there. We're waiting for you to propose something." And also Steve Angel was at yearly meeting sessions, and Steve is the Quaker Studies professor at Earlham School of Religion. So we were having lunch, and he said, "I'm doing this course called Quaker Public Ministry." And I said, "Oh, that sounds really interesting." And then I was telling him about my hopes to travel, and he said, "Boy, those sound like a really good fit." And so that was the piece that, when I plugged that in and talked to Tracy about Obadiah Brown Fund, she said, "Yeah, that sounds like a really good fit for Obadiah Brown." So I did apply to the fund, and had a clearness committee of members of this meeting, which was wonderful, very, very helpful and supportive. And that allowed me some flexibility about what I was able to do in my travels. And also grounded me. I think I can't emphasize enough how important it was to me in my travels to be grounded in the meeting, to know that I was your blessings, and staying in touch and so forth. It really made a huge difference. So, where'd I go? First of all, I moved out of the meeting school on Craig's and Megan's wedding day. It was the only day my son could help me move in the pouring rain. I moved to Ashfield, Mass., which is in Western Mass., left my belongings there and headed to the Boston area, where I spent about a week, including a weekend in Providence. My sister went to Rhode Island School of Design, and her daughter is now in the dual degree program at Brown and RISD. So I spent a weekend with them, so that was like a little family piece too, but also visiting Providence meeting and connecting with the Providence area. Then I went to the Lyman Fund gathering, which was in Elliott, Maine, at the Baha'i Center, and some of you know about that. And from the Lyman Fund gathering, I got a ride with a couple of people who were attending that gathering who had received grants down to Philadelphia. And it was a wonderful trip. That was one of my car trips that I got to take. Quite an adventure. I spent a couple days in Philadelphia, and I went from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., spent a couple days there. I went from D.C. to North Carolina, and then from North Carolina, after I spent about maybe about 10 days, I can't remember the exact amount of time, somewhere between 10 days and 2 weeks, both in North Carolina and then in Georgia. And then from Georgia, I went to Florida. So I really went the whole, I mean, I didn't go all the way down to the Everglades, but I I got as far as, I think the farthest south I went was Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then back up to New England. And then after the holidays, well, actually spent New Year's Eve on the train to Indiana. And I did my the course that I told you about with Steve Angel at Earlham School of Religion in Indiana, and then back to Boston again for Martin Luther King Day. And I can tell you a little bit about that. So that's my itinerary. So I went, and I think one of the things that Tracy Booth was having a real struggle with was, so what's the big deal? I mean, I go to Florida every winter, you know? The big deal, at least for me, was that I was really able to not just go to Florida. I was able to really connect with communities all the way down the East Coast. And it was a very, very special kind of connection, particularly for me to be able to spend time in the South with people that really live there, you know, not just as a tourist, but really getting involved in the communities that I was in. I think a big part of it was getting new understandings about Quakerism, new understandings about the South, being open to things that I had no idea were going to happen, because I had that itinerary down. I had, you know, for my application to Obadiah Brown, I said, I'm going to be here this time, and then I'm taking a bus to there, and then I'm taking a train, and it didn't work the way it was supposed to, as often things don't. And I discovered a lot of things that I had no idea about. I was surprised at the things I didn't know about Quakerism. I didn't know about traveling in the ministry. There were a lot.